Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Oh, it's Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. What is up, everybody? My name is Nick Ragner, joined by AC Riley. And AC Riley, huge show this week. Am I right or am I right?
Oh, you are right, my
friend.
I
am very, very right. We're recapping WPW. AC Riley was there on last Friday, and we'll be sitting down.
You know what's
weird
about that, by the way?
What it was weird about
that? I cannot get over the fact that usually it's me asking you questions about the show. And we're switching it around. It's a special episode of Grapple Talk.
It's a special episode of Grapple Talk. We're also sitting down with the gorgeous Jordy Lee later on for our spotlight in the Squared Circle segment. But first, as we do every single week, we like to talk about the upcoming shows this weekend. And AC Riley, why don't you start us off?
All right. Well, starting things off with Friday is ICW's Fashion Statement. It's returning to the Metal Grill on Friday. It's located at 5036 South Picard Ave in Cudahy, Wisconsin. I was talking to actually Shoeless Tyler Jackson about that show. Should be a baller of a time. Doors open at 7.
Baller of a time. That's
a baller of a time.
Different adjective.
Show starts at 8. All tickets are $15. Front row, second, third, and now fourth row are sold out. So fifth row is limited.
Gotta get your ticks.
Yeah, gotta get them. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting in the back. But either way, even if you're sitting in the back, it is going to be a great time. Main event is a ICW World title match between Xavier Mustafa and Simply Fashionable Justin Dredd with some different causes. A 2 out of 3 pinfalls match, hardcore submission, all that fun stuff. Midwest title match of ICW is on the line. All rules enforced, high fashion banned. Golden Jet Joey Avalon will be defending against Insane Chase McCoy. Saw him on Friday. Saw both these guys on Friday.
Hey.
Also, ICW tag team titles on the line as Team Dick Smash. This was
that's the one.
This
that's
was the
one
you were talking
about.
Dahmer Smash and Dysfunction defending. Dahmer and Smash. That's Team Dick Smash.
Dick Smash.
They're defending against the champ Dysfunction and a partner of his choosing.
Interesting.
Also see a Midwest Number Contenders Gauntlet, Alpha Dog, Mace Morgan.
You don't see a lot of gauntlets these days anymore.
Don't see a whole lot of them. Mace Morgan versus JD Jason Dukes versus Chi-Town Special Don Gotti versus Jared Jack versus Homeless Tyler Jackson versus Brock Hall.
Versus.
And then again, that is right here, ICW's Fashion Statement in Cudahy, Wisconsin. What's going on the next day?
The next day, Saturday, March the 29th, POW Entertainment. They'll be in Elk Grove, Illinois, VFW Hall, 400, I believe that's East Devon, get the tables.
Yes.
Avenue. Doors open at 6, bell time at 7 p.m., tickets $15, $10 in advance, always want to take advantage of that deal. Trevor Blanchard will be there, he's taking on Bob Perella. We also have Red Vengeance taking on William Jacobs. We've seen William Jacobs once or twice. He was at Supreme Wrestling Entertainment for their Winter Rumble, I believe, last year. The POW tag titles will also be on the line. We'll see Team Scream taking on the Elite Prayers, taking on hashtag Glitterbomb. So we have a triple threat tag team for the tag team titles. That's always an exciting event, as is POW Entertainment, always putting on a great show. We always hear about how great POW shows are. So if you're in Illinois, if you're not in Illinois, hit up Elk Grove for POW Entertainment. You can always go to www.powentertainment.com for more info. So, yeah, that's POW Entertainment this Saturday. And what is going on, my friend, on April 5th?
April 5th, man, I'm looking forward to this one.
Why?
It's right here on our front doorstep.
Home turf.
It's here at the UWL Cartwright Center. It's Cooley Pro Wrestling's Blood, Sweat, and Cash. And this is the show that has been a lot of work to put into, but man, it's going to be a lot of
that?
It's a lot of reward.
How do you know that?
Because it's on our front door, so obviously you know every detail about it.
Okay.
Main event is scheduled to be Freedom Pro Wrestling title on the line as CGO Joel the Champ takes his belt and defends it against Stevie Richards, former WWE, ECW, TNA,
crazy.
WCW. Pretty much all the accolades.
All of them.
You also got the Handicap Heroes. We'll see Gregor Iron come back to lacrosse. You're tagging up with Zach Gowan, who is familiar in the Winona area. They'll be teaming up with Livewire.
Who is also familiar in the Winona area.
Can I say that? Is that cool?
Yeah, you're good.
They'll be fighting off Revelation, which is Sexy Casey and Storm, for those that may not know that. And they'll be teaming up with UIWA heavyweight champion Chief Adekugo. And then Texas Bull Rope match is a grudge match from last year. We got Superstar Steve Stardom versus Rough Crossing. Got a ladies match, Melanie Cruz and Shonda Coleman. We've seen a lot of action from Melanie Cruz. Shonda Coleman, we've just seen stuff on YouTube. So
she looks good, though.
Yeah, it looks great. Can definitely, you know, take a hit like a champ, which is good because if you're going to be a wrestler, a female wrestler in the Wisconsin wrestling area, you're probably going to be fighting a lot of dudes.
Most likely.
And that means you got to be able to take a hit.
Yep.
Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for all students. So basically you show
that little
student ID.
Yeah.
Boom, you get a $5 discount.
Wait, is this any student anywhere?
Any student.
Any student anywhere.
Any student.
Doesn't matter where you're
children
from.
Children 5 and under are free. And then there's going to be a special meet and greet with the wrestlers at 5:30. And all that is $5 to your ticket. So basically, if you're walking in, no ID, and you want to meet the superstars at 5:30, you're paying $15 and boom.
So I can meet Steve Richards or Zach Gowen for $5?
You can meet him for $5.
That's one hell of a deal, man.
That's one hell of a deal. And it's one hell of a deal for one hell of a cause. All proceeds
of this event
will be going to the American Red Cross, which is Delta Sigma Phi's national philanthropy. Doors open at 6:30 if you don't want to make the meet and greet, or you maybe can't, and you still want to get in there and check it out. And the first match will be at 7 p.m., and that is CPW's Blood, Sweat, and Cash.
That is exciting. That is really, really, really exciting.
It's hard to believe that that is coming up so quickly.
Yeah,
I'm excited. We've
been talking about it for so long, and now it's like right around the corner. Well, you know, speaking of exciting, there was an exciting event last Friday, WPW Unleashed in Fond du Lac. I have some family members that are actually from Fond du Lac, but I wasn't able to make the trip, had prior commitments.
Now before we get into the show, you talk about your prior commitments.
Are we going to do this right now?
Yeah, we have to a little bit. So you don't have to give the full details, but I got to know, since you couldn't make it because you had to attend your girlfriend's sister's birthday party.
Okay, we're getting real.
Okay, we're getting real. But all I gotta do, all I gotta do is ask, did you get brownie points?
I got brownie points, yeah.
You got brownie points?
I did get brownie points, yeah.
All right, because if she would just would have yelled at you, I would say you should have just come to Final Act.
I probably should have come to Final Act regardless if I got brownie points or not. But I mean, in the end, the decision was made. You at least got to go up there, experience. From what I've heard, you know, based on social media, talking to you, talking to a couple other guys, it was an amazing show.
Oh, man, it was.
Yeah, and I mean, let's jump right into it. You know, and actually, I have this recap that I'm looking at right now that you gave me so I could ask you the questions because obviously I want to talk a little bit. And there's one thing that I want to get into. So we know Jake the Snake Roberts was there, correct?
Oh, yeah, he was there.
So there was a battle royale to determine Jake the Snake's opponent in the main event. Now, the first thing I got to ask you is who in their right mind would want to win a battle royale to take on Jake the Snake in the first place? Because you know what? It's inevitable that you're probably going to get covered in a large and terrifying... I'm scared of snakes. I don't know if you know that, but I'm terrified of snakes.
You're terrified of snakes?
Why would somebody want to win that? Was that advertised, or did somebody come out and be like, hey, there's a battle royale to face him?
Well, no, that was part of the battle royale. It was that the winner would face off against Jake the Snake Roberts. And, you know, regardless of what you might expect from wrestling WWE legend, soon-to-be Hall of Fame inductee of 2014, that's still one hell of a job, job career thing that you could write on your resume.
Yeah,
is that
of course.
How many people could say, oh, I went toe-to-toe with Jake the Snake Roberts?
Not many. And definitely not guys that are scared of snakes like me.
Exactly. But the other thing, too, what was great to see about Roberts is that, you know, back when I went to Heavy on Wrestling, oh, my God, like 6 years ago, hard to believe, almost 7 years ago.
Wow.
He was not on a good track. You know, this was back when he was, you know, hitting the drugs and everything like that really hard. You know, he got in there and, you know, I'd seen him, I think, about a month before at another show, and he was fine. He was, he was on the wagon. Went to Heavy on Wrestling. He showed up late. He was off the wagon again. And, you know, it was a shame to see him in that predicament. So coming into this show, I was like, oh, boy, how is he going to be off the wagon? Is he going to be on the wagon? He not only was back on the wagon, but he wrestled like he did back in the old days.
Did you have a chance to talk to him at all? Or
I did not. There were so many people. Here's the thing. He was having autograph signings, right?
Uh-huh.
Show started half an hour late because there were so many people signing autographs, and they didn't want to be like, nope, sorry, you have to go sit down. We have to start show. They're like, you know what? We're going to get these people in. But what they did do is that one time started to get down about 7:20 or so, they just said, you know what? We're not doing the lines. Everybody get in.
Wow. You know, and then let's stick with Jake. I don't want to jump to the main event right away because Well, you know, you like to say that till the end, but I'm going to jump to it because I have a question about it.
Sure.
So the main event was Ripped Ryan Summers. Apparently, he's a real mailman. And he teamed up with Jake the Snake Roberts and took on Insane Evil, which we know as Dysfunction, and Chase McCoy. So how did that even work? So like, let's talk about the Battle Royale. So it ended up being a tag match. How did that happen?
The Battle Royale, actually, there was no contest with it. This is what happened, is that you had a bunch of guys. Like, for example, you had Rex Ritchie in there. You had Judge Jesse. You had... who else did you have there? You had Shoeless Tyler Jackson. You had a lot of different guys who would have... you know, reveled at the opportunity of wrestling Jake the Snake Roberts. We got into about the last two, and then all of a sudden, Insane Evil, which is Dysfunction and Chase McCoy, all of a sudden, they're running out with steel chairs, and they're just beating the tar out of everybody. Basically took steel chairs to anybody that was still standing, tossing them out, basically making WWE just, you know, the inmates running the asylum, as you could maybe imagine.
Yeah.
You know, not only were they doing that, basically making threats that, Jake the Snake Roberts would not even see his Hall of Fame ceremony.
Really?
Stuff like that. He wasn't going to leave Fond du Lac, according to Insane Evil. And basically what happened is that they kept harassing the show, basically making threats. Hey, you know, you're running short on time. You need to make a decision. Finally, then Ryan Summers, when he came out midway through the show, this is a guy that has been scouted by WWE multiple times.
Yeah.
He's been to a lot of tryouts. This is a guy that's going to get picked up sooner or later.
Yep.
He was the one to introduce Jake Roberts to the fans who maybe didn't get a chance to see him at the autograph signing. And then all of a sudden, Insane Evil, of course, interrupting that as well. And it led into a tag match that would be set up for later in the night because, a guy like Ryan Summers, who basically he delivers to all these people. You think he's gonna?
Did he wear a mailman, like a mailman
suit?
No, he did not wear a mailman suit.
The only guy that wears something of his job is the ice cream guy from POW.
And the lumberjack. Because he's really a lumberjack.
Which lumberjack? Oh wait, all of them.
They're all actually lumberjacks, apparently. Okay, so let's talk about the main event then. So we had Ryan Summers and Jake the Snake taking on Insane Evil. Obviously I wasn't there, but I did get to see the aftermath. Spoiler alert: I saw Chase McCoy had some snakes on him. That's terrifying, yep. Dude. I don't know how that guy was even in the ring. I would have been bolting out of there. That's just, what if they, like, I don't know. I feel like I had a nightmare about that.
Well, but here's the crazy part.
Let's move past the phobia,
here's
okay?
What's the crazy part about the snake? Is that, you know, Jake walked out with the snake on his back, as he did back in the days.
Yeah, usual.
And that ended up being the yellow snake. And Ryan Summers gets on the mic and says, you know what? I remember there being another snake we saw earlier that was bigger and a different color. They ended up finding underneath the ring. And it was a huge snake. Like, I took a picture of it, and that didn't even do it justice.
I thought it was fake. I saw the picture. I was like, this isn't even real.
No, those things are moving. And then he just laid it down on Insane Evil, and it was just ridiculous. It was insane.
Oh, that's
it was insane for Insane Evil.
It's for Insane Evil. So how was the match, though? How did Jake the Snake look in the ring?
Oh, God.
And Insane Evil always brings out the best. I mean, you have Chase McCoy, Dysfunction, two really, you know, and we talked about Ryan Summers, obviously, scouted by WWE, stuff like that. So you had a lot of talent in the ring at the same time, but I want to know, how did Jake the Snake perform?
Well, it's crazy if you think about it, because, you have a guy like Roberts, who's, you know, the past of the WWE, and you have Ryan Summers, who's basically, you know, looking to be the future of the WWE as well. I mean, I'm not saying that Insane Evil, you shouldn't take any credit from them. I'm just saying that, you know, as of right now, Ryan Summers is the one being looked at. So in a way, he's in a future sense.
Okay, yeah.
It made more sense when I was just describing.
No, I understand.
The team,
I get it.
Overthink. But moving right along. Roberts, man, he worked really well. Like,
did he?
I was wondering, how is a guy like this going to move around?
Yeah.
He can move around really well. I got to say, DDP Yoga must be working out really well.
Did you, like, look it up on your phone afterwards?
No,
he picked this up.
He said that was the whole process of him getting clean, was that he was doing DDP Yoga.
I'm saying, what is it, like, impressionable enough to you where you're like, maybe I should start doing DDP Yoga. Maybe I should change some things in my life.
Maybe.
I mean, it seems kind of interesting, doesn't it?
I mean, Roberts, he's getting up there in years, and he was moving around. I mean, he wasn't, like, running around like you would in, like, cross country or something like that. But bottom line...
Not in cross country. What does that even mean?
Used to be.
Yeah,
but
way back.
Bottom line, though, is that a guy like Roberts, you would not expect to be moving around as quickly and agile as he did. But for a guy of his age, he was working circles around Insane Evil.
So let's we're gonna try to get some more matches in here because we only have that limited amount of time, you know, before we can get Gorgeous Jordy Lee on. And Gorgeous Jordy Lee actually wrestled on that card, but first, before we get to him, I actually want to talk about Stacy Shadows took on Sexy KC. And I've seen a lot of both of these competitors, so I can kind of relate to what you're talking about. But how exactly was that match? We know Stacy Shadows has faced quite a few male counterparts in this business, especially here in Wisconsin. So how was that match? How was that set up? What exactly happened there?
Well, basically what that was, Sexy KC, he had issued this open challenge earlier on in the, weeks before Unleashed actually happened. And what happened is that he finally came out. You know, he's talking about that, being a former citizen of Fond du Lac, realizing that Fond du Lac made the biggest mistake ever, letting him get out of Fond du Lac. You know, typical Sexy KC.
Typical Sexy KC.
And then basically, not only that, but he was saying that no man had accepted his challenge, so by default, he should have won to win.
Yep.
So the ref raised his hand. He was getting ready to leave. Stacy's music hits, and, no man accepted the challenge, but a woman did.
But a woman did.
And they tore it up.
Yeah?
They tore it up. Stacy definitely, took Sexy KC to the limit. And what actually happened later on in the match.
Give me the ending.
The table was obviously the point was to win that.
Yep.
Stacy had Sexy KC on her shoulders. Ref got knocked out on accident.
Of course.
Basically what happened is that during this time, Stacy Shadows power bombed Sexy KC from the turnbuckle to the mat and broke the table.
Oh, okay.
Took a picture of that.
Yeah.
But then right after that, Roadhouse.
Not Roadhouse.
Roadhouse runs in the ring.
Really?
Didn't Roundhouse kick or anything,
he didn't
unfortunately.
Do a Roundhouse
And he didn't
roadhouse
stop
kick?
To say Roadhouse, unfortunately.
Oh, he didn't? Okay.
No, but he interfered. He beat down Shadows, dragged her on top of the table, got Sexy KC away from it. When the ref came to, clearly Sexy KC won. He's a winner.
Huh. For a guy that hasn't been around for the longest time, Roadhouse has actually been pretty impressive so far.
He's been
far.
Making an impact.
Yeah, from all the promotions
we've
seen.
It's always weird to think that he's not a vet.
Yeah, I know. That's
like
what
every
I was
time we
too.
See him, we think this guy's got to been around for like 10 years, and I don't think he's even been five.
Do you remember that? How last week you mentioned that to me? How you're like, yeah, it's been around for a couple of years. And I was like, what? Like I thought he was a vet for sure.
Well, it's the same thing with like guys like Pornsash, for example. Is like
yeah.
been around for 4 years. You wouldn't imagine that. You would figure that these guys have been seasoned vets,
which is actually a great thing. It almost lets us know that there's a lot of talent that's upcoming here in the Wisconsin area. So
it's
promising
that,
actually.
It's that old saying, act like you've been there before.
Yeah. And it's a lot of it's confidence, because like we just said, when these guys are holding themselves, how they're holding themselves, they're kind of like strutting around like they are vets, which builds confidence, adds to their in-ring competitiveness, and especially stuff on the mic because if you want to just talk about Roadhouse, he's very very strong on the microphone, which you don't see from a lot of guys that are just getting into the business. So let's go back to WPW. Let's stick with Peter Schwanz taking on Jared Jax. Obviously, we've seen both of these guys too. I believe based on your recap, was this the opening match?
This was the opening
so
match.
So exactly what kind of a pace did that set for the entire night?
Well, the bar had always just been set high. They walked out to the ring and set up this opener contest, and they set the bar high, which meant that the rest of the card had to keep that bar raised as well, which definitely WPW delivered for the entire show. Don't get me wrong. Pornsash came out, was just, surrounded in applause and cheers and everything like that, which is a different change of pace from seeing him over in Beaver Dam,
yep.
He used to say. But, yeah, Jared and Pornsash, they went toe-to-toe, and it was a very, very even match for them. As I mentioned there, the Falcon Arrow suplex was what Jared
yep.
got put away with. But for the record, just got to say that Pornsash made, I can't remember what name that Jesse
Pornsash. Oh, yeah.
It
was actually like something pretty creative, and I was like, what
is that?
It was
like a mustache curl or mustache twirl or something like that.
It was definitely something interesting.
But bottom line, it's not the Falcon Arrow suplex. It's something involving mustache and... yeah, that's
that's all that we really need to know. So let's, we have about 10 minutes left. We have some other matches to talk about. Obviously, let's talk about Rex Ritchie, Devin Drake, and Jordy Lee. We have Jordy Lee coming on here in about maybe 10, 15 minutes. So let's talk about that match. These are three guys that I haven't personally been able to see in action. So I want to hear from your perspective. I don't know how much you've seen from these three either. And if you were brand new to seeing all three of these guys wrestle, how was this match? And, you know, was it something that did it, it's a triple threat match. So what were your perceptions of it?
Well, to answer your question first, no, I have not seen any of these guys in competition before. Overall, it wasn't a terrible triple threat. It was great pace. I believe that Rex Dreshi and Devin Drake have tagged multiple times before.
Oh, really?
So, you know, you could definitely see some shades of them teaming up. But of course, when it came down to it, when Jordy Lee was out of the equation, they tried to take each other out. Or when one tried to pin Jordy Lee, the other one would try to get the match because, you know, they're looking out for each other.
Yep.
You know, this match brawled on to the outside as well. But bottom line, it just kind of came down to Jordy Lee being able to capitalize. I mean, Jordy Lee is definitely very impressive in the ring. On top of that, you got guys like Rex Ritchie, who hasn't been around for too much longer. You know, overheard Jesse and Silky Fine on commentary, you know, talking about rookie mistakes. You know, rookie mistakes in the sense that maybe like Rex Ritchie, he would hit Jordy with a move, but he wouldn't capitalize on it.
Oh, okay.
Or he wouldn't pin him
in
a correct area. It, you know, rookie mistake, I heard a couple times. You know, and that just comes with experience. I mean, I'm not going to criticize Rex Ritchie and Devin Drake for making rookie mistakes because, hey, I made rookie mistakes.
You still do make rookie mistakes.
I make rookie mistakes.
Cocky son of a gun.
You make rookie mistakes.
I do make rookie mistakes. I'm not even trained yet. What are you talking about? So anyways, let's move on right here. I see that we had the Beer City Bruisers taking on the Dream Police and Jackson. So exactly, let's talk about that. I've seen the Beer City Bruisers and the Dream Police in action quite a few times. Phenomenal tag team talents. Looks like the Beer City Bruisers came out on top. How was this six-man tag match? Because we know that a lot these teams in particular are really good at getting an audience riled up, both, I guess you could say, positively and negatively. So how was that six-man tag match?
Well, first off, you got to look at the equation in the sense that you have Nick Colucci, who's one of Oshkosh's own, representing the Beer City Bruisers. You have the Dream Police, two guys that had come from Oshkosh as well. So yep. You have a lot of hometown hero animosity. Furthermore, basically referring back to First Wrestling, that six-man tag we saw, this was basically WPW's answer to that.
Oh.
And I would say it was a very well-paced match. You know, it wasn't going to be a whole lot of high-flying for a lot of guys that necessarily don't do a lot of the high-flying stuff. But bottom line, what they lacked in maybe high-flying moves, they definitely made up for in psychology and just, pace of the match.
Okay, let's talk about pace of the match really quick. Matt Winchester back in action, your first time being able to see him after, his knee problem and stuff like that. How did Winchester look stepping into the ring?
He looked like he was never injured in the first
really?
Place.
Really?
Yeah, I asked him, a little bit before the show.
Yeah,
how
I know you talked to him a little
him.
Bit. Yep.
And he said that he was, had been back on the road for a couple weeks, as we talked about last week. And everything, and bottom line, he looked like $1 million.
That's really good to hear because we know how good Matt Winchester is in the ring, and the last time we talked to him, it sounded like he was maybe taking some time off. So it's good to hear that he's back to form beforehand. A couple more matches to talk about. We had the Inkjet Express taking on Justin Dredd and Brock Hall. Inkjet Express, a lot of hype. We know both of these guys. How was that tag match? It seemed like that could have been a pretty fast paced match.
It was fast paced.
Yeah, what were your perceptions of that?
We give Jesse a lot of crap for putting Joey Jet Avalon on this high pedestal. But after seeing the Inkjet Express in action, I can kind of see why he says it.
Oh, really?
This was definitely a very high-paced match. This was the match actually coming back from intermission.
Oh, okay. And, so how do you bring the fans back?
Yeah, and then talking about the Shack for a little bit. I mean, that place was hot in multiple ways. I mean, it was a hot crowd, which we'll talk a little bit later. But on top of that, it was really hot. A lot of people literally shoulder to shoulder. It was getting pretty sweaty in there.
Temperature was hot.
So coming back from the intermission, obviously some people are going to be like, "Oh, I'm getting kind of tired. It's really hot and stuff like that."
Of course.
And then you got to have a match that will keep people's attention, and that was the match to keep people's attention to come back from this intermission. And I mean, bottom line, one of the ending maneuvers for the tag. I really wish you would have seen it.
What are you laughing about?
Is that you had Inkjet and you had Justin Dredd and Brock Hall.
Yep.
They basically had it where I can't remember who. There was just so much going on. But you had one of the guys from Inkjet and one of the guys from Dredd and Hall tried to both do super kicks at the same time. Got locked.
Okay.
Got locked together.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they're opposing members. So, for example, the other member of Inkjet super kicked the guy from the Dredd and Hall that was locked up, and vice versa with the Dredd and Hall combo.
Really? Sounds like almost like a quad.
There was so many super kicks going around. I did not know what was going on. Like, after so many of that, I was like, what is happening right now? But, yeah, overall, it was amazing. It was a really great tag team match. And I'm starting to get a little bit more of an idea of why Jesse talks so much about the Inkjet Express.
You know, a lot of people, talking to Von Rudin, you know, Jesse Von Rudin sometimes too, it seems like there's a lot of people that don't, you know, really like that kind of spotty wrestling in the ring. You know, they don't like seeing a bunch of spots. They like that traditional, slow-paced, classic type of wrestling. But it seems like you kind of need that, I don't want to say a spot fest, but you kind of need a match like that to, like we just talked about, revitalize that crowd, especially after an intermission, because you don't want everything to be the same. So it's always good to have, you know, maybe a glimpse of something different somewhere on that card. So it sounds like the show is very well booked, I guess, as well as
the matches. That's the thing to remember, too, with any show is that, you know, If you see too much spotty matches or you see too many moves with old school psychology, I mean, really, you can't go wrong with either one. And sometimes it's good to have that mix, as we just talked about. Because, you know, if you have it too spotty, people are like, oh, I kind of just saw the same thing over and over again. If it's too old school, then you're thinking, I just kind of saw this match as well. But if it's mixed, then you kind of stay guessing. You know, you're not really sure what to expect with it. And that way you get a good mix of it, and you're going to go home happy.
Exactly. We have one final match we can try to sneak in here before we get Jordy Lee on, and that is Rough Rider Rashawn taking on Bronson Bay. Two guys I, you know, again, personally haven't seen. Take me through this matchup. How did it work out? I mean, on a card that didn't see a lot of, there were three singles matches, but a majority, you know, there were stipulation matches, tag matches, triple threats. How did Rough Rider Rashawn and Bronson Bay impress you?
Well, what impressed me, first of all, was Rough Rider Rashawn, is that here's a guy, I mean, we've seen Kaz Carter multiple times in this area, and this is a guy that tags with Kaz. You know, and basically, they're the exact same build. I honestly thought Rough Rider Rashawn was Kaz for a second. you know, just a new gear, just trying a new thing out. But apparently they've been tagging over in WPW.
Okay.
So I don't know if maybe they do that whole twin magic thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then you might want to say that maybe the referee is going to be racist if they think it's going to be a twin magic thing.
But moving along,
Rough Rider, you know, he's a big guy. He's a big gorilla of a man. Yet he was leaving his feet a lot.
So he showed like athleticism.
Yeah, he was doing spinning heel kicks. He was doing like flying clotheslines in the corner. He was really impressive. I mean, for a guy that didn't need to leave his feet, you know, he definitely did. He went above and beyond to get that W. But unfortunately for him, Bronson Bay was just one more step ahead. Ended with the shooting star press, which, by the way, was beautiful.
Really?
It was a beautiful shooting star press. And it was definitely a great bout between the two.
Oh, shooting star press. That would have been enough of a sell to get me to go there as it was. If you would have told me, hey, Nick, there's going to be a shooting star press.
Oh, really? Jake the Snake Roberts wasn't a big enough sell for you to go?
I love shooting star presses, man. I'm a mark for shooting star presses. Sue me. Anyways, we have a couple more minutes here before we're going to get off and try to get Jordy Lee on the horn. Really quick, I wanted to talk about Fond du Lac in general. We talked about it a little bit, I believe, this past week, and just talking about the venue and how it really turned out. I mean, from what it sounds like, it was a hotbed. It sounded like the place was packed. You even referenced First, which, I mean, when we went to First the previous week, that place was just packed. So, I mean, it was fun. Was the Shack really just packed of people
How was
the crowd then? Were they really hot or what?
Well, basically, this is what happened, is that we found out before the show 250 tickets had been pre-sold.
Wow.
And then within the first hour, we found out that there had been 200 people that had bought tickets. At the end of the night, and better yet, leading into Sunday, I was checking the details, and they had sold 600 minimum total in attendance.
Wow, really?
And then it was possible that it could have been 700 to 800 as well. And then furthermore, found out, too, that that's more than the attendance of recent TNA events.
I don't know if that's surprising or not, to be honest.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like, you know,
I mean, it's
usually not surprising for a lot of people that have been following TNA, But the bottom line is that if you're drawing more...
They're breaking national coverage professional wrestling, which is... I mean,
what's next? WWE house shows?
Exactly.
They're going to be doing more than that.
I mean, yeah.
And that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, first and WPW back-to-back, you know, two Fridays apart from each other, it was definitely great to see.
Is this booking on Friday thing, like, a good idea? Because ever since we started, it was all... Book on Saturdays, and now it seems like the
it depends on your area.
Does it?
Because I mean, like, you know, you take First Ave, which is right in the downtown area. You know, there's always something going on, and then you also have WPW Fond du Lac, which is just, you know, it hasn't seen wrestling action in 4 years.
Yeah.
So it was definitely something that it was hungry for some wrestling action, and they definitely got it, and it was amazing.
That's awesome to hear. Don't mean to cut you off, but it sounds like Gorgeous Jordy Lee is trying to get on the horn. We got him coming up next in our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment. So stay tuned. Grapple Talk will be right back right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Let me tell you something about respect. Huh? You want to hear a little bit about respect?
I would love to hear about respect.
I respect
Nick Ragnar and AC Riley.
As a group, we do.
Be sure to tune in every Monday from 4 to 5 and every Friday from 6 to 7. You can also listen to every episode on iTunes. Just search Grapple Talk.
Saturday, April 5th, Cooley Pro Wrestling and Delta Sigma Phi return to the UWL Cartwright Center for Blood, Sweat, and Cash. Check out the main event as Freedom Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion CJ O'Doyle defends his title against former WWE, ECW, TNA superstar Stevie Richards. Plus, there's six-man tag team action as Livewire teams up with Gregory Iron and former WWE, TNA superstar Zach Gowen to face the team of Chief Atakulakula and Revelation. Student tickets are $5 and general admission is $10. Doors open at 6:30, bell time at 7. Special meet and greet with the superstars is at 5:30 for just an extra $5. It's Cooley Pro Wrestling and Delta Sigma Phi presenting Blood, Sweat, and Cash.
You're listening to Grapple Talk,
the hottest property in this industry today,
here on RAQ Radio.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
RAQ, La Crosse's student and community-run station.
Grapple Talk on RAQ. What is up, ladies and gents? And we have our guest for the Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment on the horn right now, and it's Gorgeous Jordy Lee. And how's it going today, my friend?
It is going fantastic, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
We're doing just all right.
Doing
just all right on the special edition and with a very special guest.
Ooh, nice.
I've been doing really good on the transitions
today.
You're doing a great job. So, Jordy, just to do as we usually do with the Spotlight Squared Circle, for people that may have not have heard of the Gorgeous One, give us a little introduction to who Jordy Lee is.
I get asked this quite a bit, and I'm starting to form an answer. Gorgeous Jordy Lee is a guy who looks very weird, acts very weird, but he's here, and for some reason, people have to deal with that. You know, he's gonna fight, he's gonna scrap, but at the end of the day, he's gonna be different from anything else you see on the show. There's no, you know, Bozo the Clown looking guy at a wrestling show. You know, that's what he is. He's different.
Okay, well, we're talking about Bozo the Clown here, but we understand you as the Gorgeous Jordy Lee. So where did that come from then?
Oh, man, I give a lot of credit to Pete Sisko up in UPW. He kind of gave me the whole gimmick, and he'll probably hate me for doing an impression of him, but he's like, hey, baby, what do you do? I want to book you up in UPW, and it'd be Gorgeous Jordy Lee. I think that could work for you. You could be like Ronnie Garvin. I was like, all right, sure, I don't care. It's better than what I'm doing now, which is sitting at home. So that's where the whole thing came, and it's pretty much, you know, snowballed after that.
Damn.
I think I've heard a lot of impressions, especially at many of the wrestling shows. I think that was without a doubt one of the top five, and definitely the first one that we've seen on Grapple Talk, which is great. I've heard a lot of different impressions, and they're just ridiculous. And speaking of ridiculous stuff, here is that we saw you in that triple threat at Unleashed. You know, talk us a little bit about what your impressions were with the Shaq. Like, how crazy was that crowd?
Oh man, it was absolutely bonkers. I mean, that's hands down the biggest crowd I've ever wrestled in front of, and especially my hometown crowd. You know, I mean, I grew up 5 minutes away, It was absolutely unreal. It was a moment where you guys had Joey Avalon on here. You know, he said that it's one of those moments where you have to stand and look at everything and take kind of like a mental snapshot. And I made sure to take about five or six of those. I mean, it was absolutely unreal, unforgettable experience.
You know, you talk about that. It's one of the biggest crowds that you've wrestled on. You know, being a fellow wrestler myself, you know, seeing a lot of big crowds as well. Like for a guy like you, how does that affect your mentality when you're in the ring? You know, seeing all those people, you know, eyes focus on you in the middle of that ring. Does that throw you off at all, or do you even notice it?
Well, you know, I sort of thrive in opportunities like that, but I don't wrestle with my glasses on. So honestly, I only see what's going on in the ring. And I think that sort of helps me kind of chill out and relax and worry about crushing people's skulls. You know.
Well, there you go. That's not a bad thing to worry about. So okay, well, let's talk about Jordy Lee. Let's get into the nitty gritty. So exactly how long have you been, I guess, wrestling inside the squared circle?
2.5 years. It'll be 3 years. Three years next January.
Alrighty. So, how did you get your start then?
Well, you know, I was sitting at home and I was browsing Facebook, as a lot of us 20-something-year-old males do, and I saw a event for like some wrestling show in Luxembourg, Wisconsin, which is about 20 minutes south or so of Green Bay, and I messaged the promoter and I said, hey, you know, I like wrestling. Can I come by and like help set up? And he said, well, why don't you, he was like, you seem like a big guy in your picture. Like, why don't you just come and train? I was like, we'll see what happens. And that's really how it happened. You know, and my initial mindset was, okay, starting to train, try to have a match within a year. And then a month and a half later, I was actually having my first match with Sadist,
who's
one of the best wrestlers in the Midwest. And since then, man, it's just, I haven't stopped. You know, every month wrestling. So,
well, you know, you wanted to have a match within a year, and then you trained in a month and a half. Here's this guy, Nick over here, who's been training for about six years.
Hey, this isn't the spotlight in the Nick circle, dude. What are you trying to do over here?
This is the spotlight on busting Nick's balls while doing the spotlight in the
circle.
That
was not PG-13.
Oh, it was PG-13. But no, it's just one of those things that I had to just throw out there. But, you know, that's definitely something because, you know, going back from my training, talking to a lot of guys, is that it seemed like the average time is usually about 6 months, you know, give or take, if you can really get it and if you're really clicking. It's obviously later if you really don't get it. And that's something where Nick doesn't really, in his defense, that's why it's taking so long. But a lot of the guys, they just don't ever get it, and then they never really see the other side of the ring. But, you know, for a month and a half, your training, that's something that you must have been like this prodigal son that came to wrestling.
Wow.
No, I came at, like, most of my career so far, you can call it a career, I guess, has been about opportunities. And I've just been so lucky to be in the right place at the right time. And for that show, a couple of the guys were hurt, and they needed a body. And I was asked, hey, do you want to wrestle tonight? And you know, looking back now, like, I would have been stupid to say, no, I'm not ready. Like, you kidding me? Like, yeah, I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to do a rock bomb, Stone Cold Stunner, or finish him with a Jordy elbow. Like, I mean, come on. who would have passed on that opportunity, you know?
So
you never know when it could happen again.
Yeah, you know, talking about wrestling your first match against Sadist, is that kind of like Spider-Man in the first movie when you wrestled against Bonesaw? Is it kind of like that at all?
It was so scary, and like, I laugh now, I cringe, like how unprepared I was. I mean, I didn't even have knee pads or elbow pads. I put tape on my knees and my elbows to kind of help with like the skidding and everything like that. I just wore red wrestling shoes and a black, and Nathan Gust, bust my chops so much about how I pronounce this word, but I wore a black singlet. And that's all I had to wrestle in. But I didn't even know how to run the ropes, but I mean, it was, looking back now, like, it was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah,
in the ring with a guy like Sadist, you know?
You didn't hear a lot of guys that are able to do that, and obviously you've come so far, and I think one thing that I've definitely noticed, and I think one thing that AC Riley can say he's noticed, is that we know, we follow you on Twitter, we're friends with you on Facebook, and we kind of noticed that you have a really good relationship with a lot of the other wrestlers. Kind of talk about how important it is to have that good relationship with a lot of the guys in the locker room.
Oh, it's I mean, obviously I don't do this for the big paychecks and the pretty girls going town to town. I do it for the camaraderie. You know, if that wasn't there every single weekend, I would have a hard time doing it. I mean, it stinks. Like, you know, you guys are, you know, you travel from La Crosse to Beaver Dam. Like, it's no fun. You know, it's absolutely no fun. But when you get in a car with a group of guys, you make a lot of fun. You know, all these inside jokes, all these stupid comments. You know, you stop and you get some awful fast food.
Oh, man.
You know, and that's just the best part. You know, and if you're able to have a circle of people around you, it makes it worth it. Absolutely.
Well, you know, you talk about camaraderie, and you also talk about you know, hitting the road, getting those fast food places. What's the best place that you've grabbed food
Great question.
On the road?
Oh, that's so tough. well, like we've hit all the usual suspects.
Oh, yeah.
But me and Nathan and Joey were big fans of Quick Trip.
Oh,
to the point where we consider Quick Trip a restaurant. we talk about the food like it's actual food. It's not. It's just fluff. You know, they warm it up in the back room, and then we happen to eat it because we're idiots. You know, like we talk about every single thing like it's an exquisite item. It's like, come on now, it's just a cheeseburger and some roller bites. By the way, good plug for Quick Trip.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I think I'm like about like three steps behind you guys on that, because I mean, here in La Crosse, I live about like three blocks away from a Quick Trip, so you can probably imagine I go there quite a bit.
Well, they have everything too. They have everything you would want. Like, oh, I'm in the mood for egg rolls and donuts today. Yeah, I'm going to go to Quick Trip, I guess. Yeah, I'm going to stop and get a gallon of milk. Oh man, I walked out with five cheeseburgers. Oh darn, no, I got to eat them all. You know, like it sucks, man.
See, that's the worst thing I think about Quick Trip though, is that I go there and I'm like, I'll buy like three cheeseburgers. And I'm like, this is going to be the greatest meal of all time. And then I'll bite into it. I'm like, this bun was made with chemicals. What the hell is going on?
Do you really say that?
No, I don't say that. I say it in my head. I mean, I'm writing a novel and I wrote it down, but I haven't actually said it out loud yet.
Oh,
so,
dear Lord.
That checks out.
You know, and then we talked about fast food, but you know, going back to the stuff with the road trips. I mean,
the more important stuff,
well,
I guess.
Well, yeah, focusing more on the trip itself.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked with guys like Nathan. We've also talked to Joey about him as well. It sounds like you guys, like when you guys get together on those road trips, you mentioned as well that you guys have some like weird stories. What's a weird story that you can share with us without us getting kicked off the air?
That's really tough. I prefer not to share some of them. Mostly we just have these really weird moments. I mean, like, it's not even a weird story, but it's kind of a known thing. When I get past, like, I'm like Cinderella, I think that makes sense. Once I get past midnight, I get so sleepy, and I'm really known for, getting, pretty drunk after shows.
Okay.
And then I order a bunch of fast food, and then it falls at my feet, and I stomp it out for some reason, and then I fall asleep. That's sort of my niche, I guess, if you could say. I ride with Joey and Brock, Brock Burkholder, quite a bit, and they'll be talking to those two nerds in the front will be talking about like ECW Heatwave 98, and like I'll be like mid sentence, like, oh man, that's in Perry Saturn heads up, and I'll start snoring in the back seat. I'll wake up 2 hours later and we're back in Green Bay. I'm like, oh man, what a great trip. Like, went by real quick.
That's exactly what it is for AC Riley, because when we go up to Beaver Dam, I'm busting your balls right now. When we go up to Beaver Dam, he'll fall asleep. But this guy is different, because he'll fall asleep the entire way there and then the entire way back. And then he'll wake up and be like, man, that was a great, we have such great road trips. And we're like, what are you talking about? You were sleeping.
See, like, but that's where I understand where Jordy comes from when he passes out, because, you know, when we get on those road trips, I've already been working how many hours? And then you guys talk about freaking baseball and your fantasy drafts, and I'm just like, I have no idea what they're talking about, so I'm just going to pass out.
Okay, fair enough.
So I understand where Jordy's coming from that, so we're kindred spirits in that sense.
Well, and I always think to myself, well, I could do this road trip for another 2.5 hours, or it could take me 5 minutes to get there if I fall asleep.
Well, if you think about it, it's a good logic. I like it.
All right, Jordy. So really quick, I got to ask you about this. So what I've kind of noticed is that for the past few weeks, you've blessed us with your presence because, I mean, you're kind of helping plug us. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, it sounds like from what we've noticed, you've been supporting the show. And I got to ask, what made you want to support? I mean, I'm not trying to plug. I'm plugging us again. But, what was with the, help in supporting Grapple Talk?
Well, the first episode I listened to was with my best friend, Nathan Gust. And, I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't really know, what direction you guys were going to go in. And I thought, here's a couple of guys who sounds like they just like wrestling. And all they want to do is get, a spotlight on local guys. And that can really help everybody. If I plug Grapple Talk, I'm also plugging, say, Tyler Jackson when he was interviewed, or whoever, Joey Avila. I'm like, why not? Like, who knows how long we have to do this stuff. Like, let's help each other for crying out loud, Let's, I mean, even if it gets you 5 likes, like, why not share a Grapple Talk status? Or why not share, like, a, Nathan Gust status about a booking or whatever? Like, come on, let's just get some eyes on each other and help each other out. Like, WCW isn't knocking on our doors to get us signed, Like, let's just help each other out for crying out loud. It's a community.
Jordy, I think I can talk for Riley when we really appreciate all the help that you guys and all the other workers have really helped in supporting our show. But, one thing that you kind of brought up, and it was, just like trying to get the word out. And I guess one thing I want to ask you, and I want to make sure that we get your comment on before we have to part ways, is the fact that, if you had to try to sell, we ask this every show, and if you had to try to sell independent wrestling to maybe a fan of wrestling that doesn't ever watch independent wrestling, or maybe just somebody that doesn't watch wrestling in general, what would you exactly say?
I would say YouTube, gorgeous Jordy Lee.
That's a great point.
And I would say if you have any misconceptions about wrestling, watch that because you're going to see a circus. If you don't like the trapeze act, then you're going to like the guy getting shot out of a cannon. There's something for everybody. We all can't be 6'3", 240 pounds with tattoos and everything like that. Like, there's variety. That's the best part about wrestling. It's interactive. It's. I don't mean to get too mushy, but like, it's the only sport that's also performance.
Well, that hits a nail right on the head with that, Jordy. And last question, I swear. You made a reference earlier in the interview about the Bozo the Clown kind of style. You definitely noticed that with your hairstyle back at WPW's. So I gotta ask, Halloween or any other costume contest, have you ever dressed up as a clown?
I think in fifth grade, made up this stupid. I mean, I grew up in a house with two older brothers, so like it was a lot of hand me downs, a lot of do it yourself.
Of course.
And I made up this stupid character that was half clown, half dog, and his name was like Snoopy Wonder or something like that. And he had my dad made like leather dog ears that were on a band I put on my head, and then it was like a gimmick on top of a gimmick on top of a gimmick. Like, I had the clown ears or dog ears rather, a clown wig. I wore like brightly colored pajama pants. Oh, and I had a sheriff's badge too. Yeah, Snoopy Wonder was a clown dog detective.
Dog detective.
All I know,
yeah, man.
All I know is that if I was a booker, I would book that gimmick today. If I was Vince
That'd
McMahon listening,
That'd
I would
the worst
book
thing
that.
Ever. Like, how do you announce that guy? Oh, he's a dog clown. Helping to fight crime. Like, what the hell, man?
All right. Well, I think that's unfortunately all the time that we have for today, Jordy. So, on behalf of Nick and myself, thank you for coming on.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Well, hey, definitely, and hopefully we'll see you on the show next time. But, hey, always stay tuned, and we'll definitely be plugging you again.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
That was gorgeous, Jordy Lee on Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
One thing that he actually mentioned is that with the clown dog detective. Remember when you made that XXX thing?
No. Let's move on. Well, we got Wrestler's Perspective coming up after the break. Our awarded segment, Wrestler's Perspective, because Ace is so good at everything.
Just kidding.
Coming up right after this, you're listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. Stay tuned.
We're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Here on
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Here on RA
Yes! 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 Yes!
Q here on RAQ Radio.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Saturday, April 5th, Cooley Pro Wrestling and Delta Sigma Phi return to the UWL Cartwright Center for Blood, Sweat, and Cash. Check out the main event as Freedom Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion CJ O'Doyle defends his title against former WWE, ECW, TNA superstar Stevie Richards. Plus, there's six-man tag team action as Livewire teams up with Gregory Iron and former WWE, TNA superstar Zach Gowen to face the team of Chief Atakula Kula and Revelation. Student tickets are $5 and general admission is $10. Doors open at 6:30, bell time at 7. Special meet and greet with the superstars is at 5:30 for just an extra $5. It's Cooley Pro Wrestling and Delta Sigma Phi presenting Blood, Sweat, and Cash.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
I am Judge Jesse, and I sentence you all to an ass-kicking.
You're on RAQ Radio.
RAQ, LaCrosse's student and community-run station.
Grapple Talk on RAQ. What is up, ladies and gents? Just had a fantastic interview on our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment with gorgeous Jordy Lee. Really fun talking to him. And yeah, right now we have our apparently Emmy-winning segment, Wrestler's Perspective. So AC Riley, we're not going to use it. Stop trying so hard because it's not gonna work.
But
it's
I like this music.
I like the music too. But you know what? We're gonna do without
right,
it today because
fine.
Because it's a little bit more. I'm gonna do a little bit more of a real question for you. Okay. So I started. I'm still training and stuff like that. Obviously, you've been in the biz for your anniversary was on Friday, 6 years. So I gotta ask you, AC Riley, coming from a guy that's still training. And coming from somebody that wants to jump in the business, exactly like what do you need to do to stay relevant and to get the respect of some of the vets?
Well, I think it's kind of a two-part question. There's the main thing to do is to stay relevant is just to be at shows. I mean, you really can't be relevant. You can't really be training if you're not at any of the shows.
Yeah.
And going to. I mean, obviously, like when you have a job outside of wrestling, you got to make your paychecks.
Yep.
So you obviously want to still respect that. But it's just like how Mick Foley said back in some of his books is that even if you want to be a wrestler, always have a plan B and, still go to school and all that stuff because, the percentage of getting into the big leagues is very slim.
Yeah.
For example, like we've seen two Midwest guys come into the WWE or be looked at by the WWE, a few more than that, excuse me, but it seemed like Thor of Marius, who's Bray Wyatt now.
Yeah.
Ryan Summers getting looked at. Sammy Savard did a match with the Boogeyman, stuff like that. But bottom line, that's a very small percentage of the actual wrestlers that are in the Midwest scene.
Yep.
The other thing is just to always help out is that, even if you're going to a show and, you're paying a ticket and stuff like that and you're a rookie, find the promoter. Ask him if you can help out in some way. Hey, I was wanting to see if you need any help with anything like that. For example, I went to Heavy on Wrestling when I was still a rookie and I asked that question. And then all of a sudden I was told, yeah, we actually need a guy to do sound. I get so much credit for that because, here I was. I came in not expecting anything, and I got this thing. And then another thing, too, is that I went to Eau Claire, and I was booked to be a referee while I was training. But because I was 17 and they were worried about legality things, unfortunately, they said, hey, we're not going to be able to book you for this show. And I was like, that's fine. I'm still going to go check out the show because a lot of the guys, like my trainers, so you'd have like Stardom and Bonner in the main event. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to check out that match. I wanted to learn. I just hung out in the back with those guys, and all of a sudden I'm getting texts from some of the guys that I was training with. Yeah, man, you got a lot of respect for showing up to that show and sticking around. And that's the thing that a lot of people need to remember is that, you're not always going to get booked in every single show, but still showing up. Like, perfect example, I celebrated my 6-year anniversary doing the hard cam to help out another show, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I believe you said you put away the ring, too.
Yeah, I helped put out the ring.
Helping put away the ring. I think, just coming from I've been a part of this business for almost 6 years, too, more or less in the production aspect, but what I've kind of noticed is, the fact that it seems like respect is a really, really big word in independent professional
respect
wrestling.
Respect is the biggest currency next to money that you can make for wrestling.
Exactly. And, that seems like one of the most important things. And, I think that rounds really off a wrestler's perspective for this week. A little bit more of a serious topic, but, I think you actually could learn something from what we just talked about as far as if you want to break into the business, if you're new in the business. I mean, coming from AC Riley, hasn't been around for 20 years, but still knows the trick of the trade of staying relevant in independent wrestling. And, congrats on helping us out. But we do have a show to wrap up. We can't talk about this all day.
Unfortunately.
So, really quick, let's start talking about these shows. That will be upcoming this weekend, and I'll start us off here so we can get that whole thing going. I got ICW Fashion Statement returning to the Metal Grill on Friday, March the 28th. That's this Friday. And they're located – is that this Friday or is that –
this Friday,
wow,
sir.
Wow, that April is
time
coming.
Flies when you're
April
fun.
Is coming fast.
Hard to believe that February was 4 weeks away.
It's hard to believe that, but at the same time, if you have a calendar, you know that. So they're located at 5036 5036 South Park – Picard. Is it like – like
Picard.
Picard, the guy from Star Trek. Avenue in Cudahy. Is that Cudahy?
Like, Cudahy.
Maybe you should have taken this one. Wisconsin,
really
53110. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. Tickets are $15. Front row, second row, third row, all
and
sold
fourth
out.
Row.
And the fourth row. Yeah, that's right. I just saw that on their Facebook. Are all sold out. So now fifth row is limited. Make sure you get your ticket submissions in because you do not want to miss this. A bunch of pro wrestlers going to be there. It's looking like just an amazing show. Hit up www.icwmilwaukee.com for info and to get your tickets right now. That's ICW Metal Grill this Friday.
Then Powell Entertainment on Saturday, March 29th. It's at the VFW Hall, Devon Avenue, 400 East. It's in Elk Grove, Illinois. Doors open at 6, bell time at 7. Tickets are $15 or 10 in advance. If you hit up their website, www.powentertainment.com, you can pay on PayPal. So that's Powell Entertainment on March 29th.
And then on April the 5th, we have Cooley Pro Wrestling's Blood, Sweat, and Quash.
Quash.
I was like, quack.
Be very,
like
very quiet.
Be very quiet. Blood, Sweat, and Quash is coming around the corner. No, but seriously, this is their second annual event. It's DSP, the local fraternity here in La Crosse, bringing a amazingly stacked card to the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, and all the proceeds are going to the American Red Cross. I'll just name a few of these names off really quick. Stevie Richards, Zach Gowen, CJ O'Doyle, the Freedom Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, Chief Atakula Kula. They're all going to be there. You want to see this. It's going to be a huge show. Tickets are only $10 to see some of these guys. $5 for any student, no matter where you're from. If you're from UW-Milwaukee, come on down to La Crosse. Pay $5 to see a stacked show, and kids 5 and under are free, so it's a family fun event. Special meet and greet starts at 5:30. Only $5 for admission, and the doors open at 6:30. If you can't make that, first match starts at 7. That's Cooley Professional Wrestling's Blood, Sweat, and Cash, April the 5th at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse.
I think it's time to just get on out of here.
We need to get on out of here. You've been listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ. Great show today. I can say so much. It seems like every week our shows just get better and better, but this one, AC Riley, really quick, I want to comment on before we get out of here. We had a great show today.
This is exciting.
But we're going to get out of here. For AC Riley, I'm Nick Ragner. We'll see you guys next week. You've been listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. Well, hey, dude. Next week on Grapple Talk?
Next week.
Who are we sitting down with?
We are sitting down with one half of the Handicapable Heroes. We're sitting down with Greg Iron, who will be coming back.
What?
He's coming back to La Crosse for the second year in a row, and we're sitting down and talking with him about Blood, Sweat, and Cash, among other things.
You totally were about to get gangster on me. I saw your hand. You're like, Blood, Sweat, and Cash, homie.
Don't tell the Crips that.
I caught you off guard. But seriously, it's going to be an amazing show next week. It's Gregory Irons coming on. That's all you need to know. And if you want to get more info on the upcoming event, you can always check us out on podbeat.com. You can also check us out on iTunes, and you can check us out on our social networking sites.
That's right. Facebook.com/GrappleTalkRAQ. Also follow us on Twitter at RAQGrappleTalk, which, by the way, if you were ever at any shows, we're going to be tweeting the deets.
We're tweeting the deeds. We're doing the deeds. We'll see you guys next week for Grapple Talk.